It's 11 minutes before the hour of 8 o'clock. You're listening to KCAW in Sitka. I'm Chris Todd with Raven News. Public meetings continue throughout Southeast Alaska on changes to the state's regional transportation plan. On Wednesday night, a handful of Sitkans met with regional planners about six options for ferry service. The regional plan is revised every 5 years, and state officials are looking to get the most bang for their buck in Southeast Alaska, where projections show population declining to 59,000 people by 2034. That's about 10,000 fewer people than recent numbers. The projections troubled Sitka resident Harvey Brandt.
I think that's very gloomy, and I know it's coming from the Department of Labor, and they're very sophisticated, but there must be one a little bit more optimistic than that.
He'd like to see the plan include a variety of population scenarios, including some more optimistic ones. Brandt said during the meeting that he worries a low number will give politicians from other parts of the state a reason to nix funding for projects that would help Southeast. There were six options presented on Wednesday night. They address the fact that some of the fleet's aging ships will need replacement in years to come. They also propose new routes and, in one case, a road across Baranoff Island to a ferry terminal located along Chatham Strait. Sheila Finkenbinder is legislative aide to State Representative Peggy Wilson. She says Wilson's office supports the road idea.
She is in favor of it. She has encouraged us to talk about the road if we want better service, because what she hears is that we want better ferry service. She realizes that the money's only going to go so far as getting ferries in and out of Sitka.
The road plan would also include a highway connecting Cake to Petersburg and build an access road from Juneau up to Lynn Canal. It further includes a new Alaska-class ferry plus 10 shuttle ferries and discontinues service to Bellingham and Cross Gulf service that includes service to Yakutat. By creating shorter runs along Chatham Strait, planners say communities receive more service, although they would experience longer travel times throughout the region. The road option has the highest capital cost, about $1 billion, but it will also cost about 20% less in annual costs than the current spending levels. Other alternatives include maintaining the status quo, matching capacity with demand, maximizing the use of current roads, and building three new Alaska-class ferries. About a dozen people attended Wednesday night's meeting. State officials say the ultimate plan might include one of the options or a mix of several options. The planners next travel to Angoon on October 24th. That meeting begins with an open house at 10:45 in the morning, followed by a public meeting at 12:30 inside the Senior Center. Written comments may be submitted to the state before November 4th, and you can find out how to do that by visiting our website at kcaw.org. Federal fisheries scientists plan to survey Pacific Northwest and Alaska waters to determine if a harmful European fish virus has spread here. This week, scientists in British Columbia announced they'd found the fish-killing virus in wild Pacific salmon for the first time. Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bancy reports.
The detection of the contagion in wild British Columbia sockeye comes as a surprise. Infectious salmon anemia is not harmful to humans, but the virus has previously inflicted heavy losses on Atlantic fish farms. The big unknown is how vulnerable wild Pacific salmon and herring are. The Western Fisheries Research Center lab in Seattle plans to investigate quickly, says microbiologist Jim Winton.
It could range from relatively severe to maybe not so severe, depending on the susceptibility of these stocks.
Some wild salmon advocates strongly suspect the disease was introduced to the North Pacific via farmed Atlantic salmon. They want saltwater salmon farms in Washington and British Columbia shut down while the outbreak is investigated. The BC salmon farm industry insists tests on their fish have found no signs of infection. I'm Tom Bonsi reporting.
Living in Alaska can sometimes make it difficult to get your hands on certain items, and the organizers of a new food cooperative say nowhere is that more apparent than when it comes to cheap organic food. The group has been ordering food in bulk since the summer, and it's hoping to grow in the months ahead. KCAW's Ed Ronco visited the co-op shortly after the arrival of a shipment of food earlier this week.
Ann Betty dials a phone as volunteers sort food into the boxes scattered across the floor of a Pilates studio downtown Sitka.
Hey, Nadia, this is Ann Betty calling from the food co-op. Your order's in. It's Monday around 4, and we'll be here till 6 o'clock for a pickup. The number is 747.
About 1,600 pounds of food are in the room right now, having just come off 4 pallets that arrived on that day's barge. This shipment will be split among 30 people. Chola Mall is one of them. Her 15-month-old son, Tan, rides comfortably on her back, his big eyes taking in the sights. Mall walks over to where her order is waiting.
And I got 25 pounds of flour.
25 pounds of flour.
25 pounds of organic flour, 25 pounds of organic oats, and some very big sausage. And I think that's all I've got in there. I actually don't know everything that came in yet, so I'm excited. It's almost like Christmas.
How long between the time you order and the time it comes in?
It's been a week.
Mall says she participates in the co-op partly because of the sense of community it gives her, a collection of like-minded people who share similar tastes in organic food. But also, she says the co-op has made it cheaper to provide organic food to her family.
I have small children. I have one small son, and then I have my parents live in town. My sister has two small kids as well. I have some teenagers in my family, and we have a variety of different foods, and we're trying to eat healthy.
Mama!
Yeah.
Any drawbacks?
Well, I think it is kind of hard for me to figure out what everything is on the website or looking at the catalog. You know, sometimes those impulse buys that you might make at the grocery store, you can't do.
Sitka's grocery stores carry organic food, but co-op organizers say their method allows for specific bulk orders that make the prices cheaper for those who participate. Across the room from where Mall's order is sitting on the floor, Mike McConnell is loading heavy boxes onto a handcart. Outside, he loads his order into the car.
We prefer to buy locally if we can, but we've gradually switched over to a mostly organic diet and a vegan diet, and we just have a hard time getting what we need here. So.
Ann Betty is one of the organizers of the co-op. She says the goal in organizing the group is not only to go in on shipments of food together, but also to build community.
You know, the co-op is just a really great meeting place. It's a place where you can have cooking classes, you can have classes on gardening, anything that's pertinent to food and community and, you know, local green efforts, those kinds of things. And so it seems like, you know, there's a lot of little groups around town that have a lot of little goals, and I see them all kind of merging.
She says the group is growing quickly, from 20 members at the outset to about 200 people now who have expressed interest. They've also just become Sitka Food Co-op Incorporated.
And once we go through the next few stages, getting a bank account, business license, all of those things, then we can start memberships.
The group is also trying to raise capital in hopes of establishing a storefront. They're beginning with a fundraiser, dinner and a movie, on Saturday at Centennial Hall. Where they go from there, Betty says, will be up to the members.
The sky is the limit. I mean, we could have a small little store. We could have a big grocery store. It just... The amount of community involvement and interest and volunteerism is what will determine where we ultimately end up.
Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
Two former state lawmakers plan to plead guilty to corruption charges today, drawing to an apparent close a years-long federal investigation of corruption in Alaska politics. Court records show that Pete Kott and Vic Coring each reached plea deals with prosecutors that call for sentences of time served and a period of supervised release. Kott, a former House Speaker, is expected to plead guilty to bribery concerning programs that receive federal funds. Coring is slated to plead to conspiracy to commit bribery concerning programs that receive federal funds. The charges stem from maneuverings around a 2006 oil tax vote in the state legislature. The two were convicted on corruption charges in 2007, but an appeals court earlier this year tossed the convictions and ordered new trials, citing prosecutorial errors. Alaska Education Department officials plan to meet next month to discuss whether the state should seek waivers from the federal No Child Left Behind law. The scheduled meeting would be 1 week before a November 14th deadline for states to request opting out of key provisions of the law. The U.S. Department of Education says there'll be another opportunity to seek those waivers in February. As of the 13th of this month, 41 states had submitted letters of intent to seek waivers. The deadlines come as the U.S. Senate works on reauthorization of the law. Senator Lisa Murkowski is among those seeking changes, calling the law a one-size-fits-all mandate that doesn't fit Alaska's needs. Alaska health officials say Taylor Farms Retail, Inc. is recalling bagged salad blends that may be contaminated by salmonella. No illnesses have been reported. The salads were sold under the brands of Fresh Selections, H-E-B, Marketside, and Taylor Farms Field Greens. UJC codes and Best Buy dates of the recalled bagged salad blends can be found online at the U.S. Food and Drug Administration website. And that's it for Raven News for this hour. Coming up in just a few minutes, we'll be talking with some folks that are working on purchasing land that is at the in the Crescent Harbor or Crescent Park area. We'll be talking about that process this morning at 8:18. Hope you'll be with us for that. Meanwhile, you are listening to KCAW in Sitka, where the temperature is 46 degrees. We've lost a couple of degrees. The winds are east at 18, gusting up to 28, and we've got rain in the forecast for today. Fairly blustery prediction. East winds 25 miles an hour, shifting southeast late this morning, and some rain likely today. Good morning.